Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon, rolling right along on National Pancake Day. Well, it's really made some headways, especially in this studio. We've had all kinds of fun with it, and we're going to talk to our next guest about that. But we'll wait till the end. We'll save the fun part till the end, and we'll talk about the serious stuff first. You can read her articles in the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Lisa Roberson joining us. Lisa, thank you for coming in, as always.
Thank you for having me.
And boy, oh boy, have things changed since we last saw you on that Poochkee pilgrimage a week ago today. Boy, a couple of big stories have burst on the scene. You've been all over both of them. And I guess we'll start with this 3M subject coming up with Mayor Brenda contacting the White House, trying to get a hold of President Trump to see if there's something he can do to keep the company in town. And boy, it seems like so much has gone down since the original story broke, because since the White House has actually gotten back to Mayor Brenda.
Yes, and I wish I had more to report on what the conversation entailed, but Mayor Brenda signed a confidentiality agreement with 3M. She is talking with them, according to what she said to me, and trying to see if the city can offer them anything in the way of incentives to get them to stay in Elyria. Of course, with that agreement, she can't tell me what's been said, what she's trying to offer them. It has also prevented her from speaking to the Trump administration. She said they've asked her many questions that it's not that she can't answer them because she doesn't have the knowledge, but she can't answer them because she's barred because of this agreement. But she said she is going to do everything she can to get this company to stay here.
What's the loss if 3M pulls out?
If 3M pulls out, which is a thing that I did not realize, mm-hmm. 3M is the largest user of water in the city.
Wow.
So you would talk about upwards of $900,000 just in, you know, their annual water bill, and then you're talking another $200,000 or $300,000 in income taxes, and so it could be a big loss for the city.
Yeah, there's no question. That's a lot of money. There's no doubt about that. And I think outside of that, you know, the ties in with the schools and things like that too, I think that plays a major, major role in this as well. And not to mention, you know, if a company like that leaves, as you mentioned in your article, that wouldn't be the only company to leave the area. I think that's got a much, much larger effect on this whole thing than anything else.
It does, because she's looking at the bottom line and she's thinking, you know, we could lose Riddell. We will lose Riddell, and then we're going to lose Bendix, and if we can lose 3M. And once you're constantly taking these cities, when these companies are leaving your city, you also lose that income tax base. And, you know, revenues and expenses are kind of this two sides of one coin kind of thing. You know, you have to bring the money in and spend the money. And so people are going to say they would like to see more roads paved and more police officers on the streets and more programs in their parks departments, but the city can only have so much money to do these things. And so if income tax is leaving, then it cuts services, and so you have to try to increase the revenue or cut the expenses.
And certainly, you know, we've heard from certain members of the White House. We've heard from Mayor Brenda. What's 3M saying about all of this?
3M is saying that they are pulling out because it's a business decision for them. They make this cellulose material that is used to make sponges. You probably have 3M sponges in your house. But the Elyria facility makes a lot of this raw material that they can sell to other companies, so other companies can make sponges. Because, of course, 3M is not the only company that makes sponges.
Yeah.
And so they want to pull out and go into one facility and kind of consolidate operations. And so then they can focus on more of their own brand products that they manufacture. And so stop selling this kind of raw material to other companies.
Well, and talking about some of the things that have gone down here the last couple of days, I think your original story came out, if I'm not mistaken, Friday or Saturday. And then, of course, you know, everything was updated as soon as we had heard from the White House and their response to Mayor Brenda. And I think if you're to take a look at a timeline, maybe it's tough now to know when they might be able to move forward with this. I think, really, that's kind of the most difficult thing right now. Everybody's kind of waiting for a resolution, but at this point, it really doesn't seem like they know whether it's going to be a week or if it's going to be a month.
Yes. The mayor kind of have left this in the hands of the person she spoke with at the White House and saying, you know, I have this agreement that I signed with 3M that's barring me from having these conversations with you, but I really want to advance this subject with the company. So if you could possibly put together kind of a conference call with someone from the Trump administration, someone from 3M, and some, you know, the mayor's office, so they can all three of them be together in this conversation so the mayor can speak freely. She's not violating the agreement. And so we've left it there. We don't know when and if that kind of conference call will happen, but she's hoping it happens soon.
You mentioned Riddell leaving for North Ridgeville, Bendix possibly taking off, 3M possibly taking off. Why does this seem to happen now? Is there a rhyme or reason to it from anything you've seen?
From what I've seen, there's not a rhyme or reason. Right. Each company kind of makes their own business decision about where they want to go and how they want to, you know, Riddell was looking to expand, so they were looking for the best possible location for them to do that. You know, Bendix the same way, they're looking to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they make a decision for their own companies about what's best
sure.
for them.
Well, and if we can shift gears here to talk about something that really kind of came to light last night. I mean, you had mentioned this briefly the last time that we spoke, this whole idea about the medical cannabis, and it's coming to the area. And boy, yesterday it really kind of seemed like the city of Elyria really took a major step forward.
Yes. Last night at city council meeting, city council has voted that they will endorse this application by Green Mount Enterprise to go ahead and seek these licenses from the state. They are seeking 3 licenses, one to grow the marijuana, one to process the marijuana, and one to sell the marijuana in a retail establishment. And so the city is saying, you know, we endorse this application. We endorse having this industry in our city. And if it's still unknown if Green Mount Enterprise will receive those licenses from the state, because, you know, it has an application process and the state has to kind of go through a vetting process to see, you know, yay or nay of will we grant these licenses. But at least with the city saying we're on board, it gives them a better shot, because, you know, cities that endorse the applications rise higher on the scoring matrix, I've been told. And so, you know, we'll see what happens.
And you bring up the medical marijuana situation, or the addressing of it here. A lot of the cities in Lorain County sort of wanted to wait at least a year to see how things played out with that once the state legalized medical marijuana. Why is Elyria so quick to jump into it here?
The mayor's saying this will be a learning experience from everyone,
sure.
But I think she's also looking at, you know, they're saying upwards of $3 million the city could see in this. And, of course, if you're a city and you're thinking, I'm losing industry left and right and I have to figure out a way to increase revenue or cut expenses, and there's a new industry on the rise, is saying, you know, you could see $3 million in revenue if you pick us, if we set up shop in your city. It's worth looking at. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think she would do a disservice to the community if they didn't at least, you know, say we're willing to discuss this. And so I think she's looking at it, and so I think that's a good idea.
Lisa Roberson of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And I think what was very interesting in the article that you wrote yesterday, taking a look at those who opposed it, those who were for it, one of the biggest supporters was the police chief.
He was one of the biggest supporters. And actually, when I was sitting in the audience of this meeting, the first meeting that took place maybe 2 weeks ago, and then the mayor asked him to get up and speak and give his spiel, I was completely ready to write down, you know, the police chief is adamantly against this. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
want this in the city. But then he said, no, I've done some research. I've looked at this. And I think, you know, this could be a good thing for the city. He's also in a city that's faced with a tremendous heroin epidemic. And so he's seeing things through different lenses as everyone else. You know, he's constantly going to, you know, these situations where people are overdosing on these opiate-based drugs. And he's trying to figure out what can we do in the city to get a handle on this. And so he's thinking, you know, maybe if these people who start possibly on painkillers, because that's, you know, seems to be a lot of the ways that a lot of people are getting into heroin, if they cannot, you know, be prescribed this opiate-based drugs, and they can be prescribed something like a cannabis product to help them cope with pain, then maybe we won't have this trickle-down effect of they can no longer get the pain pills because the doctors no longer prescribe them, so they turn to heroin to feed this addiction.
So my understanding, if Green Mile comes in and this takes place, they would grow and produce here and then outsource to the rest of Ohio? Is that accurate on how it would work?
Well, I believe the system is going to be kind of like regionalized.
Okay.
So in this area, Green Mile will kind of handle this. They've looked at our population of Elyria, and they think 1% to 2% of the people could benefit from this. And so they said that maybe in the surrounding area of Elyria, they're looking at least 6,000 people who could be going to get the cards from their physicians for whatever illnesses they have, and they, you know, that could be the base. It's such the state hasn't really come up with these guidelines about like how extensive it's going to be, and they've
mm-hmm.
said that we'll take a you know, a small look at it now, and then back in 2018 we can kind of expand this, you know, the opening it up for more dispensaries and more retail establishments. So, you know, but Elyria is going to see where they can go from the beginning.
What about jobs? Have you heard anything on that? How many jobs would it add into the Elyria area?
The initial facility would look to employ 75 people.
Okay.
They said, you know, what, maybe 25 would be more like a managerial positions, and then the other 50 positions, we're talking security, retail positions, people who are working back in the growing and the processing facility. And it's also interesting because they said when we talk about security, we're not. They said these are going to be like high tech security systems because mm-hmm. this is not just going to be some mom and pop shop you're going to be able to walk into and you know and walk out with whatever you want in your hand.
Huh.
Well, we certainly look forward to seeing how this develops. And again, I think as the timeline progresses here, we hope to know more here in the coming weeks. But this has been an interesting story to follow for sure. All right, so that's the serious stuff. Now we got to ask you about the fun stuff here. One of the cool things about having guests in studio is you can kind of prep them a little bit, and you get to learn a little bit more about them. It's National Pancake Day. We're having all kinds of fun with that here on the show. You clued me in on one of your recipes, and I'll let you talk about that here in just a second. But before we get to your recipe for pancakes, best pancake you've ever had, and what's your favorite kind of pancake?
Best pancake I've ever had. I like my pancakes with strawberries and whipped cream.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best way to do it.
I was going
to
say, if you're capable of making a pancake that sounds as delicious as what Lisa's been telling us about, I don't know why you would have another pancake that would possibly be your favorite, because it sounds amazing what you make.
Yes, I make a pancake with brown sugar and cinnamon because I do not like a soggy pancake. I do not like to cover it in a lot of syrup, so I use the brown sugar and the cinnamon in the batter so that the pancake has flavor, so you don't even need butter sugar. I mean, I give it to my kids, and I say, here, take a piece of bacon, wrap your pancake in, and go out the door when I make pancakes in that rare occasion that I'm actually being a great mom.
If you make those pancakes and they somehow make their way over here, I can't speak for my tag team partner. I'm going to say how delicious they are, but I won't say it too loud because if they get into our kitchen over here, there will be constant requests because
Certainly.
Those sound fantastic. And I like what you said about the consistency too, because you're right, that pancake can't get too soggy. And with those elements mixed in there with both the brown sugar and the cinnamon, you get the flavor and you get that consistency.
Yes, you do. Because if you put too much butter and syrup on it, you have this mushy pancake mound that you can't really chew. And it's just kind of like this, it's like the consistency of applesauce. No one wants that in the morning. So I like the flavor of the pancake.
I agree with you. You can't have a mushy pancake. I'm just curious, where do you get the recipe for that? Did you just start throwing things in the batter and say, I wonder how this is going to turn out?
Pretty much.
No, that's awesome.
Well, we appreciate you stopping in, as always, and shedding some light on a couple of very important topics. And, of course, cluing us in on that pancake recipe as well. You can follow Lisa on Twitter, at Lisa Roberson CT. That's at Lisa Roberson CT. Thank you, as always, for coming in.
You are quite welcome. Maybe you guys can help me out here. My daughter was just accepted into college yesterday at Ohio State. Andy and Matt and I were talking about that. So now we have choices. What choice should she go to? Should we go to Cleveland State? Should we go to Ohio State? Should we go to Ohio University? Should we go to Baldwin Wallace? I'm leaning towards, you know, my favorite close to home at Cleveland State. She's leaning towards Ohio State University because she wants to get away from home a little bit. So maybe you guys can tweet me and tell me where you think she should go.
That's a great idea.
See, we're full of ideas, and I have a feeling that because we're followed by some alumnus of all four institutions, well, I don't want to say things might get messy, but it's going to be pretty interesting. So we'll wait on those responses. But Lisa, thanks as always for coming in. We'll step aside, take a break,